do we expect God to be God? Seriously, like, ask yourself that question. Do we expect the living God, the God of the entire universe, to show up in our daily lives and really be our Lord? Do we expect God to be God? I know when I wake up in the morning, especially before I have my coffee, I really don't expect God to show up. I just don't. Let me get my coffee first. Let me kind of situate myself. And then, God, you can be God. I tend to lower my expectations and presume that God will kind of leave me alone or let me kind of do my own thing, let me control things, instead of just letting him be who he is. I have kind of a theory why I do this, and maybe you do this too, why we lower our expectations when it comes to the omnipotent, all-powerful God. And I think it has something to do with fear. We're somewhere deep down in our heart, we're afraid that God will disappoint us. We're afraid that he actually won't show up. We're afraid that he actually won't be God for us. And so we fall back on ourselves, and we start to expect so much more from ourselves, from the things that we can buy, from the things that we can feel. And we start to have all these other expectations that we set too high on things that are not God. Why don't we raise our expectations and really truly ask God for the grace to expect everything from the Lord? To expect God to truly be enough for us, to be God. We have an example of someone who did this very beautifully in our second reading this weekend. Abraham, our father in faith, he expected God to live up to the hype. He expected God to actually follow through on his promises. He expected God to be God. And he walked in faith, right? We heard at the beginning of that second reading that faith is the realization of things that are hoped for, things that we expect. And we expect them because God promised them. We can be sure to place our full hope and trust in what God means to do because God is God. And he shows up. And he follows through. And so we see in Abraham's life an example of a man who truly expects everything from the Lord. So for one thing, God asks him to leave his home and go out to a land that he didn't know. And Abraham responded. He said, okay, God, I don't know what's going to happen, but I expect you to be God. You've told me that you are trustworthy, that you are kind and merciful, and so I'm going to stake my life on it. So he leaves home. And again, when Abraham is told that he's going to be the father of all these nations, and yet he's like really old, and his wife is not able to have children, Abraham places his trust in the Lord and expects that he's going to follow through. He has the very highest expectations from the living God because he trusts that God is actually really God and he's really present to him. And so he receives this son, this unexpected and miraculous son, Isaac. And then what happens? God does the unthinkable, and he asks Abraham to offer up his son, to let go of him, to sacrifice him. And it's unfathomable. And what does our second reading say? But Abraham somehow had this faith amid the darkness of not knowing the full plan, that God would be God, and that even if this really went through, that he could expect God to raise up his son. That is an insane faith. That is a powerful and expectant faith. And it is the faith that we're invited to receive and to act on. In our gospel tonight, I think Jesus is identifying, like what I just said, is kind of at the heart of our low expectations. He says, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock." I've always loved that phrase where, "Don't be afraid, little flock." It's so tender. It's so like, it's like, don't, just calm down. It's going to be okay. Like, and then he says these words, which are so beautiful: "For your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." Don't be afraid to have too high expectations, because God is pleased to give you nothing less than the very kingdom of God, which is peace with God and man, union with the Almighty God who has created you. It's the life of Christ pulsating within you. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to fulfill your highest expectations. And then he provides for us this really beautiful parable of all of these servants who are awaiting their master's return from a wedding banquet. And Jesus says that those servants are blessed, are joyful, are going to be rewarded if they're expecting the master, if they're expecting his return at any moment. And what a beautiful scene that is for servants to not know when God is going to show up again, when they don't know when the master is going to knock on the door and pop in. And so they are given this privileged position to expect, to be vigilant, to await the Lord's return. And they are given something that even surpasses their expectations, right? So we hear about how when the master does arrive and he finds the servants who are eagerly ready to expect him at any moment, what does he do? He surpasses their expectations. He goes over and beyond anything they could have possibly hoped for. He says, "All right, you guys, go sit down, and I'm going to serve you." That's unexpected. That is something that is so radical, that our God would condescend, that he would come down to our level, that like in John's gospel, he would tie a wrap around him and kneel down and wash our feet. That is what we can expect from our God, because he's so merciful and so beautiful and so patient with us and so forgiving. That's why we can, when we inevitably screw up, show up at the confessional and expect that the door will be open, and expect that a priest would be sitting in there for us, and that we could expect that Jesus Christ himself is acting through that priest to give you forgiveness. Wow. Talk about expectation. Our God wants to serve us, to lay down his life for us, to give everything for us, and so we owe it to him to have the very highest expectations. Jesus then, actually, in our gospel, gives us an example of what it looks like to have low expectations too. So the low expectations, the servant who says to himself, "My master is delayed in coming," and he begins to mistreat people and bust up everything and use and abuse, and he says that, "I know better," basically. That's what that servant is saying. I know what the master is about. I know he'll be late. I know I can presume to push this off as long as possible. I can wait until the last second, and then I'll get ready. Then I will expect. But until then, I'm going to lower my expectations for myself and for everyone around me. That is challenging. And I see that in my heart all the time. Presumption. That I know better. That I am in control. That I can figure out, okay, God's going to probably do that, so I'm going to do this so that I can play the game. But the Lord is so kind, and he's like, "Stop playing the game. Expect everything. I want to give you everything." Like, why are you playing this game? Why are you lowering your expectations and settling for food and drink and pleasure and power or whatever it is that your expectations are coming down to? God wants to raise your expectations and give you eternal life. He wants to give you resurrection. He wants to give you his presence. And where does that happen most beautifully? Except right here on this altar. We come to Mass on Sunday, or during the week, or whenever it is, and we expect that when we bring a little handful of bread and a little cup of wine, that somehow, by God's grace, we can fully expect that he will transform them into the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is like crazy expectations. Talk about this poverty, this simplicity, that something that looks like bread becomes for us our redemption. The true presence. I was reading online, maybe you guys have seen this article too, that something it says, I don't know if this is true, and I don't know who they asked, but the suggestion is that something like less than a third of Catholics know that what we believe is that's really truly Jesus. And I wonder, maybe it's catechesis, maybe it's this, that, and the other thing, I don't know. But I think at the heart of it is this lowering of expectations. That this kind of like, oh, God couldn't possibly mean that. God couldn't possibly mean that he's going to give us himself as food. I mean, good gracious. But that's what our faith proclaims. And what a gift. What a gift to be entrusted with. And that's kind of how our gospel ends today, right? Much will be required of the person entrusted with much. And still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. Fellow Catholics, we have been entrusted with the fullness of the revealed truth. We have been entrusted with so much. We've been trusted with the gifts of the sacraments, the Holy Eucharist. And so, yes, we have been entrusted with much. In fact, everything. And now it is our privilege and our honor to, out of love, respond to God who has loved us first and say, God, I expect you to be God, and I'm going to stake my life on that. And I trust that you will not disappoint me. There's a lot of disappointments in the world, but God is not one of them. God is life, and we can trust him, and like Abraham and like Jesus, we can offer everything to the Father, and he will never disappoint us.